Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Today, we're going to focus on why prayer is so vital by looking at examples that Jesus set himself. Throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus frequently withdrew from the crowds to pray and spend time with the Father. This wasn't about finding a quiet place. It was about prioritizing intimacy with God in the midst of a busy and demanding life. If the Son of God, who was constantly surrounded by people and responsibilities, made space to connect with the Father, how much more so do we need to? Whew, lost my place. I'm so close, and I say this every week, and then I'm just going to have them on 1 week. I'm so close to bringing my my glasses. I'm fighting it. Like, I'm fighting lots of things that are going on with my aging self. Okay. So if he took that responsibility, how much more should we? This morning, we'll explore what it means to follow Jesus' example to withdraw to pray. That's my title for today. How it refreshes our soul, strengthens our faith, and help us stay aligned with God's will. So this morning, we're going to spend time looking through some of the examples of when Jesus did this. There's actually lots of written examples of when Jesus intentionally, and I'm going to talk about some of the reasons I think that he did this, and hopefully compel us to do similar things. Let me tell you the end of my story. Here's what I want you to do this week. I like giving you a little bit of, so you're not like, oh, he tricked me. It's going to make me pray more, which I want you to. But my goal for you this week is to do this at least once. And I'm not talking about hours, but at least 30 minutes to an hour that you will willfully get away from the noise. Don't even take your phone with you with your little, you know, or you can take your phone with you if you're like that important of a person, but don't put the headbuds in. Don't turn on the music. Just spend time quiet with the Lord away. I prefer walking out away from people because if I'm in one fixed place, I will look around specifically my house and go, I need to fix this. I need to paint that. I need to move this. I need to clean that. So get out of that space. So before we get into the word, let's pray. Father, our goal by our very name, Christian, is to be like you. And so, Lord, I pray not only in this, but, Lord, we would be looking to your word ever to see you, to know how we should be responding to life, situations, and things, how we should act and respond. And today, Lord, I pray that you would show us the importance of us withdrawing out of the chaos to hear your voice so that we could know how to walk, how to respond, how to choose, and how to live this life that at times is very difficult. With you, Lord, help us live with you in the center of it. And so, Lord, we pray your grace and mercy as we get into your word. Amen. Amen. So why with everything else Jesus had going on, and if you think you're busy, you weren't as busy as Jesus was. You weren't. Like, there was times when he didn't eat, there was times that he didn't sleep because people were pursuing him. And one of the reasons that he went away intentionally because he needed that. So it was a regular occurrence, even being a member of the Trinity. Remember, Jesus has for eternity had connection to the Father. And this is a little bit different because he's now also has humanity because he's here in the flesh, but he's also still divine. But this connection with the Father is important. It has been there from the beginning, and he continued it, mostly, I think, to example to us how we should go. I think we're a people that, left to ourselves, will try to do everything on our own. We are. I am. And if you're a person that's like everything you do, you're waiting to hear from the Lord and you only, like, teach us. Because we are a people that if we're not careful, if we don't withdraw, connect to the Father, get His heart in our heart, we will choose ourselves over Him all the time. So today our goal is not only to look at the fact that He did it, He withdrew, but also to be encouraged to follow the shepherd of our souls. These next two verses give us a glimpse into why connecting with God is so important. So there's a section in John 5, and then there's a section in John 15. John 5, verse 19 says this, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on His own, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise.'" So you're like, you know, why do you need to withdraw? Why do you need to connect? Why do we need this intimate relationship with the Father? Because this is our heart. Jesus demonstrated this to us, that He didn't do anything on His own accord, which we're going to talk about in a second. When He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was saying, "Father, like, if you can take this from me, do so. If you can take this cup from me." But He was more interested in knowing the Father. So how can you know without connection? See, many of us, the longer we stay in the Christian world, the more stuff we read, the more books we read, the more time we spend in the Bible, the more we assume that we got it figured out. And the more we assume that everything we think and decide is spot on. And sometimes that's not correct. We need to make sure that we're connecting to that source over and over. And so, like, that's more to the Father. Here's one for us. John 15, starting at verse 4. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." If you leave here with nothing else, take that. And if you live that, your life and our lives would be completely different. Because if we think to ourselves that only connected, abiding to the Father will we bear much fruit. Not many people in here are like, "Look, I'm hoping not to produce anything. I don't want to bear any fruit ever." Everybody wants to be fruitful, even if it's for the wrong reasons. We're looking for it. We want to be fruitful with our children. We want, like, all these things to go well with us. But this is the reality. Unless we abide in the Father, we will produce nothing that matters. And I'm not talking you won't succeed, because you may look at people that don't know God and be like, look at their success and look at the money they've acquired. All of that will be dust and vapor. It'll be nothing. They're not taking it with them. All of those things don't matter. What matters to us, and it feels like it matters right now, but what matters to us is what establishes forever the fruit of the kingdom. And that's one of the reasons why we're praying for that specifically over these 21 days. Is that we want to see the kingdom advance. And that doesn't happen unless we abide. And that doesn't happen unless we connect. And that doesn't happen unless we withdraw and spend some time with the Father, undistracted, hearing, listening, desiring Him. So now we're going to go into a few different times that Jesus intentionally withdrew. The first one is Jesus withdrew before major decisions. You may not remember this. We haven't got there yet in our one-year Bibles, but we'll see this soon in the next month or so. But before choosing His 12 disciples in Luke 6, verse 12 and 13, it says Jesus spent the entire night in prayer. Now, how important to His kingdom advancement after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after His ascension, were these 12 guys? Very important. And so Jesus didn't just say, "Okay, I know exactly what's going to happen." He spent all night praying specifically. And we need to, I think there's so many big decisions in my own life that I have just willy-nilly gone, "That sounds like a great idea." And I have paid the price of some of my hurry. Jesus spent all night making sure that He was ready when the, and they seem so, like, when He's walking down and He's picking these guys, like, you if you read, I think there won your Bible this morning, he picked Matthew. Like, here's a guy doing his own thing, a guy that you wouldn't pick if you were a religious leader of the day, but Jesus, knowing what the Father desires, picked Matthew. As he was sitting there collecting taxes, a hated person in their community. And you know what he did? He didn't go, let me think about this, Matthew. What did he do? He got up, left his table, and followed Jesus. Jesus also withdrew before and after hard times. After his cousin was beheaded, John the Baptist, in Matthew 14, verses 10 through 13. He sent, and this is, if you remember the story, so John has been arrested. Herod wants to get rid of him because he's a thorn in his side. And Herod's new wife, which is his brother's ex-wife, whole different story. The whole reason John is in prison because he said, this is not right, not good. And you're like, okay, we're going to throw him. Well, the new wife didn't like John the Baptist even more than Herod didn't. And so her daughter goes and dances before Herod, and Herod's like, whatever you want, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she says, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And you know what he had to do? Because he made that statement in front of all these people, he had to go take John's head off and bring it into the room on a platter. And this is where we're at. He sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came and took his body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But the crowds heard of it, and they followed him on foot from the town. Jesus withdrew, and I think this is the easiest one. I'm going to tell you something else that I think we do even worse than this. But like when times are hard, we have this tendency to want to withdraw so that we can hear the voice of God, so we can be encouraged by God. So here's another one. Right before his arrest in Luke 22, he went away with some of his, well, all of his disciples. He went a little bit further and deposited his core guys. He went a little bit further. And we're going to pick this up in verse 39 in Luke 22. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him. And when they came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing. He knows what his mission was. He knows what his purpose was. And I think this captures the humanity that Christ had in this world with flesh and bones on. He understood what he was going to. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. He was trying to prepare them, but Jesus was preparing himself. He knew what was coming. He wanted to be ready for this. And here's this connection to the Father. He got up from this and willfully went to the cross. Thankfully, we have that story and not another one. Because today we have church because of a Savior that chose to go to the cross, chose to be executed by his creation, go to the tomb for 3 days, and then arise. Because he only did what he heard the Father saying. So here's another one. And then I think this is what's a little bit harder for us. Because naturally, we think if we're going to make a big decision, we should pray. If things are hard, we go away because we're hurting. I don't know how many times I've been so distraught because things are going on in my life. And my tendency is that I need to go off by myself and walk. That's what I do and why I recommend it. I go for a walk and I just put rubber on the road and I just keep walking and crying out to the Lord, it's what my body or my soul law, you know, when I get in that place, we do. Now this, we don't do. And I think this is the most dangerous for us if we don't pray here. So Jesus also withdrew when things were going well. You know, many times when things are going well, we're not thinking about, oh man, I need to go off and be with the Lord. You're just thinking, things are good. It's awesome. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus withdrew to the mountains by himself to pray. People, I mean, can you imagine? People, and this is just the men that recorded, 5,000 men followed him. There's probably 8 to 12,000 people around. They're hungry. Jesus just provided from them food. He broke bread and broke fish, and he fed them with surplus. You know what happens when you feed people? You know what happens when you cast out demons and you free people and you heal diseases? People follow. That's why he had 8,000 people following him into the middle of nowhere. And let me just tell you, our tendency, and this is why I think you see pastor fall after fall after failure, is because we get too big for our britches. If we're not going when times are well and connecting that victory with the source of the victory, then we'll take it ourselves. I mean, can you imagine? Like, if I just fed 5,000 people and thousands of people are following me, I would be like, I'm pretty awesome. There will be a t-shirt with my name on it. Oh, my church logo is going to be, whoa! I mean, you're not thinking, hey, I need to get away from these people so that I can get my heart correct. And that's where I think Jesus does this over and over. We got several examples here. He intentionally withdrew when he could have used that to capitalize on the moment. See, we're so fearful that that moment won't stay, that something will happen and we'll lose it, that we hang on to this moment and it becomes what we treasure. Jesus wasn't interested in that. After healing many people, he would often retreat to desolate places. Here we go in Luke 5, verse 12. It says, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and began and begged him, if you will, you can make me clean. Could you imagine having the confidence? I mean, this is Jesus. People don't walk up to me during the middle of the service with leprosy or whatever else they have, get on their knees and say, I know you can heal me. If you will, like if you'll just say it, it'll happen. These are the people that are following Jesus because they know. And Jesus stretched out his hands and touched him, which is a big deal. Lepers weren't even allowed to come near people. They were to announce themselves with loud words, like, leper, like stay away from me. And Jesus took his hands and touched him, which you would not do to a leper. This was a disease that, if you got it, there was no cure. I will, is what Jesus said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to go tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for the cleansing, for your cleansing, that Moses commanded for the proof to them. See, you see this over and over again. If you've ever questioned this, like, why would Jesus, like, if you had a great experience at church, I would never, and this is the sad part, maybe, say, don't tell people about church. Like, we give you cards to give out. We encourage you to tell your neighbor. We encourage you to do things to bring people here. Jesus would heal people, and I'm going to explain this a little bit, and then he would tell them, don't say anything to anybody. Here's my opinion, and there's lots of reasons why, but one of the main reasons, Jesus did not come to start a healing ministry. Jesus came to set people free from sin. And a lot of times when you heal the physical, and this is sometimes why I think we don't instantly lose the struggle that we have. If you get the physical change, sometimes we forget about the spiritual. Like that leper probably was like, Lord, every day, heal me, heal me, heal me. There's a tendency when that leprosy is gone, he tells this, another person he heals, he said, go and sin no more so nothing worse happens to you. Because we have a tendency not to, you know, like be like, oh, I'm following you forever. We're like, we're excited in the moment, but then we'll go back to our own ways of going, I'm clear, I can do whatever I want. Jesus was more interested in doing what the Father, and this is what the Father's directing him. The Father's leading this here because he also didn't want to speed up the cross. There's lots of things, lots of reasons he withdrew, because if he didn't withdrew, I mean, at some point, they wanted to make him king by force. You want to be executed faster? Have everybody tell you and take you to the head of the whatever that this is our new king. Great way to get executed faster. Verse 15. But now even more, the reports about him went abroad. So even though they're telling, don't tell anybody, everybody's hearing this, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew to desolate places to pray. Why? Sit. Just like the other. Jesus was more interested in being obedient to the Father than he was about gathering a crowd. Jesus had a mission and a purpose, and that was restated over and over as he connected with the Father. This is your purpose. This is your mission. So he went away from that, the exact opposite, but most of our culture would do. He went away from that so that he connect to the source. Here's a great psalm. I'm reading this book that's going through the Songs of Ascent, and this week I read this psalm, Psalms 127. And their first line, the whole psalm's great, but there's this idea that I want to communicate that I think that goes with this. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And it goes on to say, you know, whether you, if you get up early and go to bed late, that's of nothing if the Lord isn't in it. The same here, we need to be reminded, even in the good, that it is the Lord's. Like if you're successful right now, you need to be thinking that God has given you the grace to operate this. If things are going well for you, we should be connecting to the Father, because if we can learn to connect in the good, then we will naturally connect when things aren't, because we already have that connection. But the problem is, a lot of times when things are really good, we feel, you would never say this, but our life reflects this. We would never say this, we don't need God, but we live like we don't need God. We do all the things celebrating and bragging to other people, look how great this is going, taking the credit for it, taking the, like, everybody. I mean, it's hard. The hardest thing for me to do in pastoring a church is when things are good to not think, Heath, look at you. You've done a good job. And you know what? I can get prideful and arrogant about things that are going. And let me just tell you, God's been preparing me for 12 years for a building, because the moment, unless something goes horribly wrong, the moment we move into a building, this church is going to grow more than faster than normal. And if we're not careful, I'll be like, I've spent all this time doing this. Look at what God is doing through me. It has nothing to do with me. The problem is that if you'll take credit for it, for the good, we'll also take it for the bad. When things aren't going well and things are blowing up in my face, I feel like, man, this is all me. Like I've ruined everything. Instead of going, hey, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the marriage, those who work on it labor in vain. In vain. Fill in the gap with kids and all these other things, unless the Lord is in it. And this is why we have to connect. This is why we pray. This is why we go back over and over again in the good and in the bad to praise God for what he's doing and ask continually. Here's the last one of these. Jesus withdrew to be reminded of his mission. After a day of healing that went into the night, casting out a demon on Sabbath in the synagogue, going to Peter's house afterward, freeing his mother-in-law of this illness. I mean, it's really nice to bring Jesus to your house. Well, I don't know why she's not cooking. She's sick. Could you heal her? That's not really what happened, but Jesus healed the mother-in-law. And then the masses after dark into late in the night. So Jesus heals on the Sabbath, which the Pharisees did not like because that was work. Even though it was a healing, it was work. And you did it at church. That was at the synagogue. And then he goes home, still on the Sabbath, because Sabbath didn't end until dusk, until the sun went down. And so everybody's just eagerly waiting for Jesus. So he heals Peter's mother-in-law, and then at dark, everybody shows up. Why'd they show up? Because they were waiting for Sabbath to end so that they could go and ask for healing. And into the night, Jesus healed them. And this is in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 35. This is right after that. So all of that happened through the night. Who knows what time he finished healing people. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark. I know that's scary for some of you guys. My alarm went off at 4 o'clock this morning. It was great. I went for a little walk this morning in the dark. I always feel like people are like, who's this weirdo at 4:15 walking in the neighborhood with a hoodie on? While it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Let me take this out. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Could you imagine? Like, could you imagine? I don't know what time they're like, hey, we're shutting down for the night. We'll reopen at 7 o'clock in the morning. And whatever time the disciples woke up, and there's probably people already sitting waiting outside for their healing. Where is the miracle man? And the disciples go to wake Jesus up. Not a big house, so they realize pretty fast he's not there. And then they're like, where is he? And so they go looking for him. Why? Because everybody's looking to them. Where is miracle man? I need my miracle. And they found him and said to him, I think with a little bit of sass, everyone is looking for you, Lord. They didn't say Lord, but everyone is looking for you. And they said to him, and he said to them, I love this. Let us go on to the next towns that we may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus pulled away from the crowds to be reminded of his mission, of his purpose. See, we can get so distracted, and I think that becomes a dilemma too. As we grow, as this church grows, as it has, like if you're here and you're new here, this is the largest that we've ever been. This is just one of our services, and we will grow more. The danger is that we'll get so over-eager with things that we'll forget about the reason that we're here. It'll just become one more plate to spin because people are like, we need, you know, and we need to stay on the mission. I remember at this journal as we were praying about planting because I needed a place that I had all of what I thought the Lord was speaking to us about the plant and the where and the when and the how in one place. And so I was recording these. And I remember one day I just felt like the Lord was saying, hey, don't build outside of the foundation that God has laid. And I had this view, this vision. Really, it's a picture in my brain. I have a shed in my backyard. I mean, it's just sitting on blocks. But I built, and this didn't happen to it, but I built this lean-to on the back of it so I could put some firewood and my mower underneath it. And I saw this picture. It's like, man, here's this foundation. Here's this thing that God has called us to do. And I felt like the Lord was saying, don't add to it. Because if you add to it, and it's not from me, it's not built on the foundation that I've called you to go, that addition will pull the other house down. Gratefully, it has not happened to my shed yet. But we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we're not just adding things because we think we should add them. We want to pull away from this and be reminded what our mission is. Why are we here? You need to do the same thing. You need to pull away. You need to draw away. Spend time with the Lord so that you can be reminded of what your mission is. You sitting here in this church, if you're sons and daughters of the King, God has given you a purpose and a mission here. It may not be ministry. It may not be standing up, preaching in front of people. It may not be a paid position, but there is something that God has put you on this planet to do. And if you don't know what that is, that should be your prayer. What has God put me here? Let me just tell you. If you have little ones, part of your mission is them. Part of your mission, and you were like, I got no more time for any other missions. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, and it will blow up at times, is to shepherd and guide these ones that God has given you. And let me tell you, it is the hardest work you will ever do. I did youth ministry for 9 years. You know what was easy? Youth ministry. You know what is hard? Raising kids. You know why? Because youth liked me, most of them. And they saw me only an hour or two a week, and they thought I was kind of cool. Probably not, but I mean, they kept coming back, and they're like, man, this guy's great, and I want to listen to him. You know what children mostly don't want to do when they're yours? They don't want to listen to you. So I could be like, I feel like a great youth pastor dad of these kids because, like, they liked me, and they wanted to listen to me. My own kids are like, I'm going to burn the house down. Try to stop me. It's like shepherding the willfulness of your own children. I remember, like, for all those that struggle with the reality of original sin, meaning, you know, like, that there's sin nature that we just have. Like, if you've had small children, like, and you still don't believe in original sin, like, you maybe got angels or something. But, like, I remember when my kids were just old enough to understand what I said to them, and I'd be like, don't you go up those stairs. They'd be near the stairs, and they'll look right at you in the face. I'm like, oh, boom! They're your kids. I mean, like, the hardest thing you will do, but you need to be reminded that it's still a mission. You need to be reminded of why you take that and go, I need to shape that will. Because let me just tell you, them learning to surrender their will to yours is a piece of them learning to turn their will to the Father. And many of us in this room have issues with the Father, not because of what the Father's done. We have issues with the Father because of what our family and our parents have done. And our trust. And so, like, as we know the Father, we want to provide an environment that they see God in us and through us. But that won't happen if you don't connect. That won't happen if you don't abide. You will bear much fruit if you abide. Nothing. Nothing if you don't. As we reflect on Jesus' example of withdrawing to prayer, it is clear that this practice was not just a routine, but a vital connection to the Father that sustained his ministry, strengthened his resolve, and reminded him of his purpose. If Jesus, God in the flesh, needed to prioritize time with the Father, how much more do we? In our busy and often chaotic lives, withdrawing to pray is not a luxury, it is a necessity. Prayer aligns our hearts with God, refreshes our spirit, reminds us that we are utterly dependent on Him for every aspect of our life. Whether we are facing significant decisions, seasons of loss, moments of success, prayer centers us in God's will and strengthens our faith. Let us this week be an in, let it be an invitation to carve out time intentionally with the Father, to withdraw. Find a quiet place, disconnect from distraction, and connect to the heart of God. In doing so, you'll experience the peace, clarity, and strength that comes from abiding in Him. And it won't happen without a decision. That's the beauty of us following Jesus. You get a choice. I mean, most Sundays, you can be like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do that. That sounds like a good idea. Yes, I want kids that obey better than that. Yes, I want this. But what happens, and when you leave here, you're like, it's too hard. Everything in the Christian life is going to be difficult. But you know what? Everything new that you are doing, you know what it is? It's difficult. If you decide to go couch to 5K it and use the little app to get there, and you haven't run over a half a mile in forever, it will be a long journey. And you know how you get there? You keep doing it. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to spend some more time talking about this reality. Next week, we're going to talk about perseverance. And if prayer is not something that you figure out exactly what to say and say the right words and get exactly what you want the first time you pray it, that is not prayer. Prayer is more about connection than God answering you. And what we'll see through the text next week is that prayer takes time, and sometimes a lot longer time than you want to give. So here's my encouragement. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. Here's my encouragement for the next 14 days. So if you weren't here last week, we started 21 days of prayer and fasting. And then you're like, ooh, I didn't remember that. So here's what I asked last week. Three things. Make time, which I'm couching fasting in. That could literally be you fasting food. That could be fasting a meal every day. That could be fasting one day a week. That could be whatever you want. I did encourage you, if you've never fasted before, don't attempt now a 14-day all-water fast. Probably not a good idea unless the Lord calls you to it, then go for it. But I do recommend that all of these things that we're asking of you, spending time in the Word, praying, they take time. Fasting for us is about making time. So that may mean taking your phone, cutting off some of those apps that are drawing away time. That may be turning off Netflix. That may be deciding on nights of the week that you're going to have a noise-free night. My wife would love that, by the way. She would love for the TV or other noise to be on, sitting on in our living room together. We did this Saturday, all of us. We were all sitting in there reading. This is great. So whatever that means for you is to make time, because I'm going to encourage you over the next 14 days to read the Bible every day. We have one-year Bibles that are out there. They're a free gift to you from us. If you got one from us and have lost it, misplaced it, grab another one. I say this every week. The best money that we can spend over and over again is putting the Word of God in your hand. If you don't know what the one-year Bible is, it basically is the Bible broken up into daily chunks. So today's date, you would read a little bit of Matthew, a little bit of Genesis, a little bit of Psalms and Proverbs. And if you read every one of those days, in a year's period of time, you'd read the whole Bible. One little added benefit that if you read that, when we finish this series, most of the time when I'm not doing the series, which is probably 80% of the year, I'm preaching out of something you read that week in your one-year Bible. So the other thing that we're asking you to do is to pray daily. We asked last week, and so if you weren't here, that's all right. We asked you to pick three things specific that you want to see God answer over the next 21 days. Things, and I say specific because if you're like, world peace, or like some generic thing, we're like, how do we know if this ever happens? Like, I want a little bit of joy. Well, I had a moment of joy, but ask for things specific. I have three specific things. I'll keep them to myself that I'm praying. But then we're asking you also pray for three things specifically to reach. This is for us. We want to see salvations this year. We want to see in 2025, we want to see people say yes to Jesus, not only here on Sunday morning, but in and through our connections, through you guys, interacting with people, that legitimate people would be saying yes to Jesus. And with that, we want to see the kingdom advance, not only in salvation, but in our hearts, homes, and cities. And the last thing, of course, is we want you to be praying for a building. This is our year. Maybe not to be in it, but this is our year that this process is starting. We will have plans submitted, or, and I'm not against this, prayer people, I would even take a place, a transition place. That would be fine, that we could stay in until we can build. I'm great. I just want to be, love the senior center. We've been here a long time, and it's great. But I want a facility that we can be in. So please join us for the next 14 days. And we'll be capping that off with a night of worship on the 26th here at 6:30. So make a calendar, you know, schedule yourself to be there. It's going to be great. So let me pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us in the dark. You didn't make us have to figure out all these things on our own, but you showed us. Lord, thank you for leading. Thank you for in the middle of decisions, in the middle of hard things, in the middle of your greatest victories, Lord, you were intentional to get away with the Father. Lord, we need that. Lord, if we're going to abide here and know the Father, Lord, we're going to have to withdraw from things and connect with you. And so, Lord, I just pray over this next 7 days, Lord, that you would help us intentionally withdraw so that we can know you. Lord, everybody in this room wants to hear your voice. They want to know your love and walk in your grace. And so, Lord, I pray that you would meet people in the middle of their efforts to pull away, to open your word. Lord, would you speak over these next 7 days? Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.